No, it's good to see you all. Well, for a new phase, a new season, we're going to start a new sermon series on Ecclesiastes, which is a book in the Old Testament, a wisdom book from the wisdom literature section, along with Proverbs and Job and Psalms and Song of Songs. So there'll be six sermons over the next 6 weeks, and we're going to follow through key passages. And Ecclesiastes is about the search for meaning, the search for meaning in life. And chapter by chapter, section by section, Solomon explores sort of different areas of life. Can we find meaning here? And so we're going to be looking about chasing meaning in pleasure, chasing meaning in work and money, chasing meaning in power and control, chasing meaning in relationships, and chasing health and immortality as well. So they're all every day, even though this book was written 3,000 years ago, it's as if it could have been written for people today. Well, it was written for us today. That's God's word. He speaks to us here and now. His word is living and active. So let's pray as we consider a profound, perhaps even the most profound question of all about God's meaning of life. So please bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we come now to hear from you. Lord God, we know we're finite and fallen creatures. We don't have all the answers. We're not all-knowing. But you are. And you've spoken. So please help us to listen now that we can know our purpose in life, what gives meaning. And so please help us on this journey over the next 6 weeks to think about every area of our lives and how we can submit it to you, to your word, and to live a life, a wise life that's pleasing to you. Amen. Eat, sleep, die, be forgotten. What's the point? Eat, sleep, die, be forgotten. That's why people have middle-age crisis. When the big 4-0 or 5-0 birthday rolls around, they look back on their lives so far and wonder what they've achieved. They ask themselves, well, what's the point? What's the purpose of my life? They realize that they don't have many years left. They're past the halfway mark. And they fear that their lives will have been a waste. All for nothing. They'll achieve nothing. They'll leave no legacy. They'll have lived a life with no meaning. Eat, sleep, die, be forgotten. What's the point? Everyone needs meaning in life. You see, meaning's what gives our lives significance. We can't do without it. We all need some reason to get out of bed in the morning. Now, what gives us meaning, what gives us significance is the kind of things that we dream about, we daydream about, that occupies our thoughts, that makes us envious of others, that we spend much of our time doing. And so often in our thirst for lasting significance, we as humans, we strive and we chase after things, the things that we think will give our lives meaning. And we give our time, we give our talents, we give our strength, we give our heart to gaining them. Now let me ask you, if you just had to name one thing that you're chasing after, if you could have one thing in the world, what would it be? Everyone's striving after something. There's something we all want to achieve or to gain. So what would it be for you? What's that driving passion that gives meaning and purpose to your life? What's the thing that you feel would give you real meaning, your life real meaning? Would be a girlfriend, a boyfriend, marriage, kids, a home, sex, to leave a legacy in your career, to succeed in your career. Perhaps some of you just want to pass your exams in a couple of weeks. But what is it for you? Now, the search for meaning isn't a new one. In fact, great wise men down the centuries have addressed this issue. And perhaps the greatest of them all is Solomon, the wisest, wealthiest, and grandest king in Israel's history, in the Old Testament, in the Bible. Solomon set out on a grand research project to discover the meaning of life. And the book of Ecclesiastes that we have in our Old Testament is the result, the product of his work. In fact, the word Ecclesiastes means, comes from the Greek word assembly or meeting. And so it reflects the purpose of the book, to present to a great assembly like this the finding of the most important research project in the world, the quest for the meaning of life. Have a look at verse 1. He says, the words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. And so the book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon's thesis. Now, many of you have studied at uni, and like any good thesis, Solomon gives us his synopsis, his summary up front. He summarizes in a single sentence his conclusion. You ready for it? You want to know what the meaning of life is? It's simple. Have a look at verse 2. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Well, how's that for an inspirational Bible verse for you? And how is that for the meaning of life? After his grand research project, his verdict is meaningless. Meaningless. Now, I know a few PhD students who halfway through their PhDs would perhaps want to conclude the same thing about their studies. They're so frustrated. So was Solomon, this great wise man, the greatest of the wise men in the Old Testament, was his great research project a failure? Well, it's easy to misunderstand at this point. You see, we can two things. We can tend to think that when we read this line, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless, that Solomon was some kind of like a first year philosophy student. I don't know if you've ever talked to one after they've done their first assignment in philosophy 101 or 1A, and they've just read the works of a great philosopher like Friedrich Nietzsche, I think, I can never be sure how you pronounce his name, who confidently declares that God is dead. Nietzsche declared God is dead and that there's no point to the universe. And so life has no meaning at all. He was the one that said power to will, basically, you know, the strongest will win in this world. But Solomon's point, get this, Solomon's point isn't that there's no meaning at all in life. What he's talking about is ultimate meaning in life. And the point that he's trying to make up front, he puts up front for us here, is that trying to find ultimate meaning in life in the things of this world is elusive. trying to find the ultimate meaning, trying to find ultimate meaning in the things of this world, in the created things of this world, is an elusive task. You see, it's like trying to catch smoke from a candle. It's elusive. Just last night, my son was at a birthday sleepover, and so it was just my wife and I and our daughter sitting at the dinner table. And my daughter thought, well, we'll have a special mummy and daddy date. And so sitting at our dinner table, she got three candles and lit them all by herself with real matches. She's 7 years old. And now when dinner was over and we had to pack up, clean up the table, she told my wife and I to, on the count of three, blow out the candles. Then she got to the count of two and she blew them out. And the joke was on us. But as the candles went out, a puff of smoke arose into the air. We could all see it. We could all smell it. It was very real. It was right in front of our eyes. But what if I wanted to grab some of that smoke? What if I wanted to keep some of that smoke in my pocket for later? You see, smoke is a very real thing. But as soon as you try and get near it, the smoke slips through your fingers. It's here one moment, gone the next. Well, King Solomon is saying that that's what life's like. See, trying to achieve lasting significance in this life is elusive. Like trying to grasp smoke. You see, think about it for a moment, what we do with our lives. You might land a big job, your dream job. But like a friend of mine, the business went bust the next month. You might save up to buy a house, but then interest rates go up 11 times in 12 months, meaning you can't make the repayments. You might eat well, exercise frequently, not smoke, yet die young. Meanwhile, an evil dictator on the other side of the world lives in prosperity and dies peacefully in old age. See, trying to achieve lasting significance in this life is like trying to catch smoke. And so Solomon poses a rhetorical question. Turn your eyes to verse 3. He says, what do people gain from all their labours at which they toil under the sun? Well, the implied answer is nothing. You see, we never feel like we've made it. Nothing we achieve or do will ever leave us feeling ultimately fulfilled or satisfied. Trying to find ultimate meaning in the things of this world, the things under the sun, as verse 3 puts it here, is elusive. And now the reason that we can't find lasting significance is because of death. Death. You see, my life and your life will come and go. We're all going to die. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Mankind's place on the canvas of the entire universe teaches us why we can't gain lasting significance and meaning for ourselves. We leave only one thing behind when we die, and that's the earth we lived on. And it remains right where it was when we first arrived on it. You see, our lives, they're like a sandcastle. I used to play at the beach when they were a little kid. Most of us, many of us, would have built a sandcastle on the beach. In fact, I think we built sandcastles at the Kingdom Camp, didn't we? The Resonate Church Camp only a year or two ago. We build large sandcastles, we as kids, and we build a moat around it. We then decorate it with shells and random sticks that we find on the beach and cover it with seaweed to make it look pretty. But as we spend several hours constructing our artistic masterpiece, what happens? The tide turns and the waves start to encroach. And eventually our grand work is engulfed. Our castle, which once stood tall and magnificent, is returned to an ordinary patch of smooth beach. There's no evidence that of our labor, that our labor or toil ever existed. And so Solomon says, well, this is what our lives are like. You see, we leave only one thing behind when we die. That's the earth that we lived on, except now that it continues to spin without us. Read with me from verse 5. Verse 5, it says, the sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and then turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. Nothing we do in our lives changes the fact that we labor and toil and then we die. And the earth just stays the same. Every day is same old, same old. The sun chases its tail. The wind goes round and round the world, and rivers flow, but the sea is never filled. Now, nature teaches us about human life here. You see, people are like the sea. It's never full, no matter how much water from the rivers flow in. And likewise, for all our striving and chasing after the good things of this world, people, we humans, are never ultimately fulfilled or satisfied. Read with me from verse 8. Verse 8, all things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. You see, Solomon's saying, constantly striving, constantly chasing meaning and happiness and satisfaction in life, we never arrive. So it's wearisome. It's like being a mouse or a rat on a hamster wheel. Imagine you're a little rat or a little mouse or a hamster. And imagine you're on the hamster wheel for a moment, chasing after the things that get you out of bed on this hamster wheel. Imagine running faster and faster, harder and harder. But where does it get you? What progress will you make? In the end, it becomes wearisome. See, people long in their hearts to come across something new, the next thing in life, that'll make them feel like their lives are truly significant. But Solomon's saying, well, this side of eternity, actually, no such thing exists. Continue reading from verse 9. It says, what has been will be again, and what's been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. And so Solomon says there's nothing new we can do or possess under the sun in this world that'll ever fill that hole in our hearts for meaning and significance. I mean, think about it. Even you think, well, there is new things. What about new technology? Well, technology is just technology. The novelty of our new iPhones and new computers, new gadgets, lasts about 5 minutes, just like the toys I was given when I was 5 years old and got for Christmas. Mankind lands on the moon, but then we just want to go and fly to Mars. You see, people are never satisfied. It's just the same basic human impulse that's driven all that human exploration. A new baby is still a baby. And the world has always been full of them. Now remember the purpose of King Solomon's great research project here in Ecclesiastes. He's asked, well, what can people gain from all their labor, all their work, all their life's toil under the sun? His conclusion, everything is meaningless. Ultimate meaning can't be achieved in our lives by what we do or what we have. Death means that life is transient. And so death means that nothing we strive for or chase after will ever provide that lasting significance that we so desperately long for. But that's not how we live, is it? Often we live like we'll live forever. Often we think that it's someone else that'll get cancer. We live like our lives are built on concrete, not sand. We imagine we can make a difference in the world and accomplish things that have lasting significance. We're like little children with vivid imaginations who play pretend. Small kids, they make imaginary worlds and have imaginary friends, and they talk to their imaginary friends. They turn the living rooms into a zoo or a hospital or a shop or a ninja battlefield. But we play pretend too. We pretend that if we get a promotion or if we see our church grow or if we bring up good children, that we feel like we'll feel significant and leave a legacy. We pretend if we change jobs or move state that somehow we won't experience the ordinariness and mundaneness of life each day. We pretend that if we just had that little bit more money, then we'd be content. We pretend if we were married or if we weren't married, then we'd be content and satisfied. We pretend if we just do our house chores this week, then next week will be quieter. We pretend that we can arrive in a world free from weariness of the constant frustrations. But Solomon writes Ecclesiastes because he wants to help us to live in the real world. He wants us to stop playing pretend as if we'll live forever. He wants us to stop striving for the new things, the next thing, as if it'll bring that lasting meaningness, happiness and satisfaction. He's saying, don't waste your life. It doesn't work. He'll show that over the coming weeks, in the coming chapters. We're finite human creatures. We're not God. We're not in control. We won't live forever. We will die. And so we need to let this reality sink deep into our hearts. King Solomon wants us to learn that wise people accept the fact that they're going to die. Now you might say, well, Sam, There's only 10 sentences left in your sermon. What about the good news? Well, accepting death is the first step to learning to live. Only a true perspective on death will give us a true perspective on life. You see, death is certain. And so we can work backwards from there, from that point. Knowing the destination will help us make sense of the journey. Knowing the destination will help us stop expecting to achieve or gain ultimate meaning and satisfaction, from earthly things under the sun. But rather, and get this, rather than looking under the sun, we need to look above the sun. Not for gain, something to gain, but a gift. As we'll see in the rest of Ecclesiastes, meaning in life is found above the sun, in a gift. And the certainty of our death points us to Jesus as the only one who can satisfy our soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. These things are deep. These things are weighty. These things are serious. And so, dear God, help us to listen to you, to not get caught up in our world, in our culture, living for self, living for created goods, rather than you, our Creator. Lord, we pray that as we continue this series, as we continue to hear your word from Ecclesiastes, give us true perspective on chasing, striving for the things of this world. And we pray that you'll lift our eyes above the horizon, to not look under the sun, but above the sun, to the great gift you have for us, where we can find true meaning in life, in the gift of your Son, our Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.